Hey everyone, hi, hello. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here in the studio with my husband Daniel. Hello.
Hello.
What was all that? Because as I was introducing you, you were like,
you always got to mention everything that's happening all the time.
I wouldn't have to, yes, I mean, yes, I do, but I wouldn't have to do that if
my neck was sore and I was stretching.
Okay, because you did like the opposite. You know, like imagine a cat stretching out. You did like the opposite of that. Like you contracted in.
I was
like
stretching my back.
Okay, because your mouth opened, but your body got smaller.
Stretching my back.
Does it feel better now?
Yeah, it does.
But do you feel worse now? Because I am.
You publicly humiliated me?
It's not. I don't think it's public humiliation.
No, I'm fine. I'm
just asking
great.
For an accounting of the last 6 seconds.
You've got it. Nothing deep about it. I was stretching my back.
All right. So we have so many calls to get through.
Sweet.
And I had someone contact me on Patreon and say, hey, I noticed you didn't play my message. Just wanted to make sure you didn't like take it the wrong way or something. And I hardly ever take anything the wrong way. Although I did take something the wrong way, not from one of my beloved listeners earlier. And I will tell you about that. But I wrote back and I said, no, it's just that we haven't gotten to it yet. And then right now I was like, I've got to play that one.
Right.
And I went back and it was from February 16th. And so now that I'm looking back, I have messages from like unplayed messages from February.
Good God.
I'm just saying.
We should do this more often and really clear through all the calls.
I guess what I'm saying, Daniel, is I don't need you. It's just, I just need the calls. And then also I don't need me.
But they're calling for me too.
Yeah, I know. I'm just probably kidding. I'm just kidding. Me.
Mostly.
I'm just kidding. Do you like that voice? I'm just kidding. What is that? It's sexy is what it is. Do you feel like it's sensual? Hi, I'm just kidding. Oh.
Yes.
Are you trying to just get me to move on?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's sexy, honey. I'm trying to imagine this, how that could become sexy.
Oh, probably like if Pamela Anderson or think is super hot was saying it. Wait, hang on. Oh, if Juliette Binoche was like, hi, Daniel, I'm just kidding.
Okay, what is the haircut of the person with that voice?
Ooh. Like long curly hair, maybe.
No,
okay. A tight bun?
It's like put up in curls, like three curls, like what? It's sort of a poof on the top, mm-hmm. and then two like curly sides, and it's a short bob.
Is she wearing a headset with a microphone?
And it's kind of reddish hair. And
is it Flo from Progressive?
Flo from Progressive has dark hair.
I know, but the vibe.
No, and she's got a long neck, and. So is it a long neck?
I got a kid with.
Yeah. A long neck, very thin. And a bob haircut. So she just has a like this lots of a head and hair and then just a stem.
Would she be played by Shelley Duvall back in the day?
Yeah, she's got a Shelley Duvall vibe.
I'm hearing like an olive oil vibe.
Yeah. Olive oil in that ballpark.
And that makes her sexy?
I mean, you know. Sure.
Can we talk about the chocolate frog?
Sure.
Got to get this off my chest.
Do it.
In a safe space. Actually, first though, allow me to say, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button.
But don't destroy
your phone. Don't hurt yourself or your finger.
Especially not yourself, but like, yeah, don't.
I don't even want to be advocating for violence. I think just tap it. Although my phone is not registering. My phone is so old that I wanted to see how much money I could get if I traded it in to maybe offset the cost of a new phone. I can get $67.
See, that's what happens when you hang on your phone too long.
they really incentivize.
I want you to get that new phone quick, over here.
Like, because you do the subscription thing where you pay a chunk each month and then you constantly have the new iPhone.
I basically crunch the numbers, and no matter how you slice it, you end up spending the same amount no matter what. And
unless you're someone who, like me, who just has an iPhone 10 for years.
Right,
and
unless
years.
You hold on to it for like a really ridiculous amount of time.
To me, it's still a new phone.
And so I just
I'm from an era before multiple bubbles of multiple camera lenses on the back.
Well, there's two things. One is what I just said. You end up, so you might as well just get the new version.
Right.
But then also, like with kids, I want to have the best camera. And
yeah, well, that's what's inspiring me to want to get a better one.
I'm also a little bit like, I didn't get the very top of the line one because I don't want a big phone. Like, I don't want the big screen.
Right.
But I think that's the only one that can take, there's a kind of picture that is almost like a 3D picture.
Yes, you've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, and I kind of like, oh, shit, maybe I should have got it. But I don't want the big-ass phone. So
but also, wouldn't those be big-ass files?
Yeah, but wouldn't it be worth it in the future when everyone's got the Vision Pro or the Vision? Because, of course, the Vision Pro is the pro version. They're going to have a Vision.
Mm.
And you're going to want to be able to look at those live photos, live inside the photo, you know, in the future. Who cares how big it is? Wouldn't that be amazing? Your little guys are back.
When I wrote about Thomas Kincaid many years ago, there were plans for a Kincaid village being built in Vallejo or something. And I remember...
Is that California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it ever got
He's
built.
From, he lived in California.
Yeah,
right?
Northern California. Yeah. I don't know if it was ever built, but I remember I said, just get ready for the trenchant prose mic drop of this. Look at it. Don't live in it. Oh, I got a text.
Wait. Hold on.
It was 1998 calling. It wants its joke back.
But I don't get it. Wait, who's saying that?
That was me.
So that would be something you would say.
My mom is texting me. Every time I see, still to this day, whenever I see my mom flash up on my phone, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Because for a while, it was like, oh no, my dad.
Right.
But then that went away. And
but
I was like,
there's still.
Well, now because her dog Toby is like barely hanging. I was thinking about Toby. I was thinking about how sad it was to, like, he just kind of like, he'll sort of walk into a corner and then just facing, you know,
because he gets confused. He's just in the corner. He doesn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. He's like, doesn't. It's the. Why are you moving your head over? Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's the, like, his entire life is, why did I walk into this room and how can I get into another room? Yeah, so he was just standing in the corner kind of like.
Poor Toby.
I know.
He's such a little guy.
I remember when he was a puppy. But anyway, now every time she contacts me, I'm like, oh no, Toby. But right now she's just asking me questions about makeup.
I got to get back to her about. She asked me about the mesh Wi-Fi in her house.
How long ago did she ask that? Because I feel
night,
like that
the
that
night
would be
we
long
went
to...
there, I forgot to get back to her.
Okay. Just a lot of questions about powder usage, as you know, because I use powder less now because it settles into fine lines, Daniel. I don't know if you know that.
Powder does?
Mm-hmm.
So does spackle.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
So then what do you do? Well, you know, you use spackle to fill in the fine lines, right?
We should just get, we have.
Can you use a
I have
paint
plaster
knife on
Paris,
you?
Like,
yes.
in the garage. I can just.
Make an Alison Rosen mask.
Fill all the, you know, the gullies and the crevasses of your face and then let it dry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then
sand
just paint it. I'll just match your skin color, maybe even give you a little bit of color.
Wouldn't you sand it, though, or smooth it out?
Yeah, light sanding. And then I would. With my airbrush, I could really like duplicate your skin. I could, like I said, I could give you a little bit of a healthy skin tone instead of this like greenish pallor that you have, this sort of like ashen green that you normally have, and give you more of a healthy glow.
Could you?
Yeah, you know, and then I don't know, honey, maybe your career might, you know, get off the runway a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. What would I do without you? What was I talking about before my mom
Chocolate
interrupted?
Frog.
Oh, no, my joke. It was like, why would you want, which by the way, of course I would want
to set
live.
It up again. So there's like a village they were going to build
gonna,
based
yeah, and
on
it was,
his paintings.
It was, you could like live in a painting. The whole thing was like
you could buy, like, it was like a planned community.
Yeah. And it was, the whole thing was going to look like a Kincaid painting.
Oh, okay.
I was like, look at it. Don't live in it.
But wait, was that their slogan?
Well, no, because they wanted you to live in it. It was me saying it. I was
look at it, but don't live in it.
Oh, my God. You look at a Kincaid. You don't live in one.
So this would be you admonishing them.
Yes. Do you even know how sassy I was, Daniel?
I've never been sassy, so I don't speak sass.
This was alternative journalism, first person alternative journalism. I've mentioned before, I sent my clips to the New York Post and I began writing for them when I lived in New York. No, sorry, New York Press. There was New York Post and New York Press, I think, went out of business. But anyway, the guy wrote back and he told me, love the toot. Because I had a ton of toot.
You did have a ton of toot.
Mm-hmm. I had a ton of toot. And a kind of sassy thing I would say would be, look at it. Don't live in it.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
But why did I bring that up?
I don't know.
Because something reminded me of it. Anyway, the reason though, can we go back? The reason that I am telling everyone, please review and rate and all that at the top is because I was listening to a podcast recently.
Yeah.
And at the very end, like after everything is over, the host was like, oh, by the way, you know, remember to rate, review, subscribe. And I thought, girl, have the self-confidence to put it at the top. It came across very as an afterthought, like I don't want to impose on you. And I was like, you know who else does that? This gal right here.
Also,
so that's
like,
why
things
I'm
like Patreon. Well, you do that up front now, but like all the...
Not always.
Yeah. But also, most people don't listen to the end of every episode. You know, everyone's listening at the beginning. Not everyone's listening at the end. If you saw a trail off, you know, you're going to have a certain percentage that aren't there at the end. So anything important, front load it.
Well, fine. I'm just going to have to bury the chocolate frog for a minute, though. But just you wait, you guys. We have a story about a overpriced chocolate frog that tasted horrendous, but there was a hijink that happened. There was something madcap, and it was actually, it wasn't madcap. There was just something didn't go as it was a regular Three's Company comedy of errors.
It was just a jink.
It was a mid-jink.
Mid-jink.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Then since we're talking about things that people that are, you know, actionable, which again, actionable means there's grounds for
illegal.
Yeah, but back in the day of publishing, the whole thing was like, give them actionable tips.
Oh, like they could do something with it.
Yeah, so here's a actionable story. Let's just be transparent about the fact that there's a little Secrets case style tin of
Altoids.
It's a more modern reference. Yeah, of chocolate covered espresso beans. And we both just had a few. And there's like coffee grounds in my teeth now. You?
Yeah, but I'm dealing with it. It's my private burden. I wasn't going to share it.
This podcast is my public burden. Mm-hmm. It's their private burden unless they talk about it with each other.
White man's burden.
Does it have to be about race?
Yes. I'm making it about race.
All right. So chasing the beans with a energy
yeah, you have
drink.
One of these Alani new. Have you noticed that the new frontier for energy drinks is female?
Oh,
is marketing towards females. Celsius.
No. Oh my
and
god,
Alani.
It totally worked on me because I was thinking I prefer because it tastes like almost exactly like Monster Energy. Did you taste it?
Oh no, but I'm.
It's Breezeberry, which I don't even know what that is, but doesn't it taste kind of the same?
Yeah.
But I was thinking,
yeah, it's just like the white Monster.
I vastly prefer this can to the Monster Energy drink can.
Yeah.
It worked on me.
That company is the same company that they have like a male version. I forget what it is. The
Alani dude.
No. It's a totally different. It's like more workout focused.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was thinking this morning, speaking of marketing to men and women, my dad had this observation, and I was thinking, I think it holds up.
Mm.
It was that in diarrhea commercials, it's always the man with the problem. And in constipation commercials, so laxative commercials, it's always the woman. Like, and I remember there was this commercial for, I don't know what it was. It was like some, the pill was pink. And there was a woman who was looking out the window and it was like, a lady in waiting. And it's always the most passive.
A lady in waiting for shit.
It was always the most passive female kind of thing. Whereas the dude, you know.
It's like a romantic, like a lady in waiting.
Yeah. But you can take this pink laxative pill versus the dude. It's like, I've played it before.
Maybe they should be more funny about it. Like, well, we have to watch so many of these friggin' things.
I've done it before. My favorite commercial, and I won't play it, but I might try to find the lady in waiting commercial, is the guy who's like, he's in the jacuzzi with the hot women. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where he's like, yeah. And then the spreadsheets. And then this woman is like, oh my God, that's so interesting. And then it's like, I don't, it's like, you never know when diarrhea will strike.
Oh my God.
Have you not heard it?
Are these 80s commercials? Or yeah. What is,
weren't you here?
We gotta find these. We may.
Weren't you here when I played that?
I don't pay any attention when I'm on this.
All right, fine.
I love both of those.
You want to hear it, right?
Now, my question is, does diarrhea strike men more and constipation strike women more?
I don't think so.
You know, diarrhea is male, constipation is female kind of situation?
I think we are more accepting of a dude
just
having
himself.
A massive blowout and the idea, and we don't want to think of women doing that.
Oh, yeah, and women are like demure and they actually don't shit.
Yes, right. That's the whole thing, is like a woman
that's
is
a very
shitless.
Wise observation, yeah. My father.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good.
Everything okay?
This is not the right one.
Fine.
No, really, how are you doing?
What's your problem?
Your diarrhea.
It's gone.
This is a joke.
You took the Imodium Advanced.
Yeah.
What is this?
New Imodium Advanced.
Was that real?
Diarrhea relief now.
That sounded like David Spade.
I know. Oh, here we go. It's got to be this one.
Your diarrhea.
Afternoon, ladies.
Hi. You want to join us?
Me? Yeah, sure.
So what do you do?
I sell paper.
That is so interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Where will you be when your diarrhea comes back? You should have taken Imodium the first time. It stops diarrhea often.
Yeah, so you don't hear the gurgle, but you see his face, his expression change. Like,
it's like,
oh no.
It's like this unbelievable night. Like, yeah. I sell paper. She's like, that's
so interesting.
He's like, really? Oh my God. And then, oh, beautiful.
All right, let's see. A lady in waiting commercial. Laxative. Oh, yeah, Correctol. Let's see here. It's the woman's gentle laxative. Let's see here.
Fiber laxatives. A woman who takes one when she's constipated is very much a lady in waiting. You take it and wait. Take it again and wait.
Yes, we got it.
Take more and wait.
It's like very gauzy and pink, and she's looking out the window. And there's like a clock striking.
For laxative, you may have to take it for 3 days to get relief. And it can
cause... Now she's in a bathrobe, a pink bathrobe.
...cause bloating. Why do that to yourself?
Why?
Take Correctol. Correctol gives a woman the relief she wants. Gentle, overnight relief. Correctol.
Now she's looking out the window and she's smiling and the sun's on her face.
Oh, the gentle laxative, like, so many women
waiting
prefer.
For her husband to come home from war.
Yeah. You know, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this like secret deodorant? Like, can a man take Correctol? Is it strong enough to move a man's bowels? Okay.
Listen, a man should be strong enough to move his own bowels, okay?
That's right. I mean, so anyway, my Substack, allisonrosen.substack.com. This is my newsletter of sorts, where I am writing for the first time ever about finding out that I was Jewish and how, you know, sort of a lot of details about that. But then I also write about other stuff. More and more I am writing about other stuff. But last week I wrote this post about, and it's one that I've been planning on writing for a while, why I think my dad lied. Because that the situation kind of begs the question, why did he hide this? And like, not very well, clearly, you know, why not change our name? So I go into all of those reasons. And then this, but I was thinking about it, and there's a couple more things that that I was just thinking about that I feel like contributed to his sense that the world is a really unsafe place and that you have to do everything you can to stay safe. And one, I don't know if I ever told you this, but there was a school shooting when he was in college, a guy in his class. Did I ever tell you this?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And the guy, the shooter, and my dad told this like frequently I heard about this because the guy went down the hall of the dorm trying all the doors and just going in into a, you know, he went into one that was open and shot this guy while he was sleeping at 3 a.m.
How many people did he kill?
There was only one fatality, but he like had five guns with him. It was like shooting, you know.
So he wanted to kill more, but
he planned on his, I just read this in from the court case because I kind of went on a deep dive. He planned to shoot. He was even thinking like maybe he should use dynamite. Like he planned to shoot up the whole dorm. And when he was in high school, he had hatched a plan to like shoot someone.
What year was this?
1955. Again, I worry someone will tune out and then tune back in. I'm not talking about my dad. I'm talking about a guy that was in my dad's college class who went on a rampage in a dorm and... This is something that I don't remember a time that I hadn't heard about this, but my dad always talked about it in sort of a matter of fact way, like without emotion, just like always keep your doors locked. This thing happened. The guy was religious, and you know, my dad had like a real, he was so against religion. And right. So I don't know, like, I feel like was sort of attached to that. But I just started thinking about how traumatic that would be in your, like, there were 200 people in his graduating class. I mean, it's a small school.
Yeah.
Like they you know, it's crazy. But anyway, the shooter was later hired by University of Arizona as a psychology professor. He taught a class called Psychology of Joy. And
wow.
Yeah. And the students and the faculty were stunned to find out about his past when he just started talking about it in class one day. And then I guess there was like a documentary made about it, and his daughter also was stunned when she found out.
What happened to Chase? What was the shift in him? I mean, I'm sure.
I don't know. He was only locked up for 5 years, and he was in an institution, not in.
I bet you there's an explanation there where if you heard it, maybe we should watch the documentary.
Maybe. But he claims that he was bullied. And he doesn't seem to have much remorse. I haven't seen the documentary. I don't know. But And then like the brother of the victim was like, this is preposterous. My brother wouldn't have done this to anyone. And a number of other people who were there at the time were like, he was a quiet guy, but he was not bullied. So I don't know.
U of A was where the nurses, wasn't there a nursing student that came in and shot some other nursing students or something?
Maybe.
I
don't know. My thing was like, why is no one looking? Why is no one checking references? Like, there's a lot about this guy. But then, and then also, I brought up, I'm giving this all away. You know, this is in my post. You know, my school was the site. My elementary school, there was a teacher that like molested a ton of kids. It was a huge, huge case, and he had a record too. And they didn't look into that. That's not the point of the thing, though. The point is, I was like, this particular Substack post is going to be like catnip to all the cats out there because it's like true crime and it's got a trigger warning.
You thought this was going to be it.
I was like, here it comes. Here it comes. My career. I didn't really go that far to think my career's getting off the runway.
You thought your Substack would blow up because of this.
But I mean, poor choice of
words.
You
need to.
No, I just assumed.
You need to run this by me before you.
Yeah, and
go off with these fantasies.
Well, doesn't it just seem like people love true crime? Is this true
crime?
Right,
but that's not being presented as true crime in the way that it would take off. It's all in the context of you telling this story about your father and
right.
You know,
but if I saw like someone was involved in a school shooting, oh, I didn't put.
I don't know if school shootings are the thing that people like to hear about.
Yeah, I think I messed up. I think instead of people being like, ooh, gotta read that, gotta get my eyeballs in front of that, and people are like, I'm just gonna swipe past that. That
sounds intense. Your Substack has big not gotta read that energy.
Big swipe energy?
Big. Yeah, big swipe whichever way. No, you're a great writer. People should
legitimately... I think I'm hanging out the wrong shingle.
Well, look, if you want to do...
go ahead.
If you want to do true crime, then do true crime and do it consistently. And you'll get an audience.
Oh, but I don't.
Then well, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying how surprised I am that people are able to not read it. They are fine with letting this one not be something that is in front of their
eyeballs.
People
say a lot about these younger generations, you know? Mm-hmm. But their ability to ignore you
is unparalleled.
Is really tremendous.
It's really unparalleled. Okay, let's listen to a call and then get ready for the Chocolate Frog saga. It's really not a saga. I'm really...
Hi, this is Seth from Silver Spring, Maryland in the D.C. area. I'm a patron, grew up in L.A., lived in New York when you wrote for Time Out New York, and remember looking at your byline and thinking, cool, Jewish magazine writer.
This is sounds like I'm writing for a Jewish magazine.
Or you're writing about Jewish magazines.
Yes, that's my beat. I write about Tablet and
Jewish Currents. Isn't that one?
Is there one called that? Jewish Currents?
Isn't that one of those like journals about Jewish topics?
I don't. Do you expect me to know?
Not a judgment at all. But when I heard you talk about feeling Jewish for the first time because of October 7th, I felt my heart sink into my stomach. First, that for some people, that's what it takes to recognize that you're part of our people. This makes perfect sense for your circumstance, but it was like how I felt after 9/11 when people were spooked to see armed soldiers at Penn Station. It was like, welcome to the horrible club of living with terrorism because of who you are. Second, and this is a hope that I have for you and your family, I really hope that you're able to use this to find more positive connections to Judaism. I feel...
Well, it's not going to be through the school shooting that my dad was privy to many years ago. I'll tell you that.
Why do you got to interrupt?
Because it's my show.
Well, this is Allison's show.
Oh, thanks. See, at one point you knew.
I don't know how much longer we're going to allow you to have this show. I'm talking to the board.
So fortunate to be brought up in an environment immersed in our history, our culture, and practice. I really hope that that happens in some way with you guys. And I hope that this doesn't come off as preachy or too heavy. Love you guys as much as the parasocial relationship allows. Once again, this was Seth from Silver Spring.
I wonder if people constantly talk to him about the Fleetwood Mac song.
What song?
There's a song called Silver Springs.
Is that in New York?
It's in Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah. You could be my Silver Springs. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway. It's my new sexy laugh. Seth, thank you for your call. Not too preachy. Yeah, I am on a journey, which you can read all about in Jewish Currents, apparently. All right, so I'll tell you,
From February that we're getting to now? Okay.
I'm going to segregate this show. I'm going to put all the Jewish content right here.
So skip forward to put the time code in the bio.
Trigger warning, no, Jewish
I'm
stuff.
I'm kidding.
I know. I got to scratch my back. I'm also having like...
No one cares.
Crazy allergy. Like my skin...
Your allergies have been... This isn't like seasonal allergies. This
well,
is like the kind of allergies...
Well, apparently it is, though. I don't know what it is. I scratch my skin and then I get like a raised red area. If you just look at my skin,
it
turns
gnarly.
Red. It is gnarly.
Yeah.
I posted about it on Instagram to ask if anyone else... I thought maybe it was a reaction to the hormones, but this friend of mine in Orange County who's having like autoimmune allergy stuff said that this is what her skin looked like, and it's like it's an intense histamine response.
Yeah, I know that, but why?
That's the question. No one knows.
It's clearly an intense histamine. I almost said hysterectomine.
Hysterectomine. Maybe that's what I
all
need.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk about Seth's call.
Okay. No, we're talking about... So anyway, I'm soliciting people's stories of finding out of their family hiding something from them.
Sure. That's a good topic.
It is interesting for once.
Better than what's your favorite flavor?
Oh no, I'm not. Oh, I haven't put out a solicitation for calls about that.
Oh,
I just had people write to me maybe to interview them for my newsletter. But yeah, we should do it on the show. A lot of half siblings so far.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's always crazy to me. That's just wild.
That's like just a nonstop parade of hidden half siblings.
The idea of finding out you have a fucking half sibling later in life would blow my mind.
But so anyway,
it just feels like such a betrayal.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could. Way worse than just like whether you're Jewish or not, because that is justified. I can understand your dad's point of view, even though I know you feel complicated about it.
Yeah,
but like the idea of maybe because I always wanted like a close sibling my whole life, and I never got one until I was like 17,
and then to find out there was
someone out there. I don't know if I could get over that, but go ahead.
You know what? You've humanized all these because I'm a little bit like, yeah, another half sibling, another half sibling, another half sibling. There's just so many of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to find. Okay. So I said, you know, is there something in your family hid from you? Let me know because I might want to interview you for my newsletter where I'm writing about not knowing that I was Jewish. So someone that I know who is Jewish, who's a friend of mine from New York, was like, oh my God, how did you not know you were Jewish? And I don't know if she said like your last name's Rosen or something. I had no problem with that. And then we got into like a really great conversation and we caught up. But then this guy who's like a constant thorn in my side, he's a little bit of a reply guy and he's also very conservative and constantly needle. You know, he wouldn't consider himself conservative. I think he would consider himself red-pilled, maybe.
That's good. So, well, that's right. He's right.
Yes.
Red-pilled is right-wing.
Right-wing. Yeah. Right. Maybe. Right. He's some new flavor of.
Okay.
He leans right. And he's always kind of like needling me. I feel like he's from the Corolla days, obviously. Sure. And he's always just needling me about libs and stuff like that.
The fucking libs.
So
don't you hate the libs? Excuse me. Don't you just hate the libs?
I do.
The worst. Yeah. Okay, go ahead though.
So he said, your last name is Rosen. How did you not know? And then put the like laughing crying emoji. Mm-hmm. So I just sent him a link to Alfred Rosenberg, who was like one of the worst Nazis, and put, not all Rosens are Jewish. And he's seen it, but he hasn't written back. But for some reason, it really bothered me what he wrote.
Well, because it's condescending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like implying that you're an idiot.
Right. But also it's implying that like all Rosens are Jewish, which the vast majority are. Well, I mean, I did what my dad, I had the reaction that my dad had way back when of like, fuck these people. I'm not going to be the Jew they want me to be. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard of Alfred Rosenberg, the exception, you know, and then I looked it up because if you go to Quora, it's like how was Alfred Rosenberg, you know, not Jewish? And it explains that like people just think Berg, obviously not part of my name, but people just think Berg is a Jewish name because of the stereotype. Well, I don't even quite know. You know what it is? And this might be my own filter that I'm applying to it, but I feel like this guy may as well have said, how could you not know you're Jewish with that nose?
Yeah, it does have that vibe. It's like,
this guy, I know all Jews are of a type. You are one of them. How did you not know? Mm-hmm. You couldn't say something like that to any other minority. Maybe you could. You probably could.
Well, imagine if they were Japanese and they were like, you didn't know you were Japanese?
Your last name is...
Well, you look Japanese. Like, I'm not saying as opposed to Chinese. I mean, as opposed to like Italian.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's an extreme version of it, but
it just rankled me. But you know what? Everything this guy said.
But it's shitty. I don't want to gloss past that. What the guy said was shitty. it's, you're right about it being almost like, you know, how can you know with that nose? And it,
right.
But more than anything, he's saying, you're an idiot. That's what he's saying. So fuck him.
And yet, someone who I'm friends with, if they said that, I don't have a problem with it. Let's listen to another call.
Wait.
Allison, Daniel. Hey. Hi.
What?
Well, we didn't talk about what he the call.
But in a way, didn't we?
Well, but are you, he asked a question, which was, are you connecting with your Jewishness now post October 7th in a way that's positive? Are you, wasn't that what he was talking about?
He was hoping that I would have a chance to do that. I think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel that I've truly connected with the religion part. Like, I don't think I've connected in a spiritual way.
You have found yourself more interested in it than I've ever known you to be.
Which was zero interest in it before.
Yeah. Now I think there's like this, you know, you've talked about, well, wouldn't be, might be interesting to go to a temple and see it, you know, like there is, I think, in you a,
there's a curiosity,
more of a curiosity
and desire,
and an identification with the, or a desire to identify more with what that is.
Definitely. Yes.
And in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks that it would take something like October 7th for that. But,
and also a connection to other Jews in a way that I never felt before.
I would also, though, say it's not just October 7th. It's, you know, your dad passing.
Yeah, yes.
Played a role in that, because it's a little bit like, you know,
I don't,
well,
have
who
to contend.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's not in the way. And, you know, that right. was a part of his, who he was, in a way that maybe he didn't fully make clear to you. You know, like he didn't maybe discuss that stuff in depth, and so you're curious about it.
Right.
So it's both of those things.
But I did find out, and again, this is in my Substack, the one that's not only about true crime. It's not at all about that. But I found out from my aunt that growing up, they knew they were Jewish, but they had nothing to do with the religion.
What sucks about that, truly, like, is that, you know, you get all the downsides of being Jewish, and that, like, all these, you know, right wing assholes see you as Jewish.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah. But you don't get the, like, membership in the world, like, financial institutions. And the ability to, like, call the shots in Hollywood and stuff.
I haven't even influenced one global market yet. Yet.
So, like, you didn't get any of the upsides of, you know? Really stinks.
I've never even drank infant blood. And I have a craving for it. It just comes with the horns.
I've been thinking a lot about people who don't want to be, like, who want to turn away from what they are. Like, it's not...
Oh, like me?
No, like the way your dad, like, denied that. And then I was thinking about how that guy Bo from Vanderpump Rules, I found out that he is, like, secretly Italian. Mm-hmm. Like, his name's, like, Silvio Bunatelli or something like that. And he is, like, grew up in Italy and shit. And I was thinking about how my family, he's, like, my family, more my extended family, where they're all very Italian, but, like, desperately want to be seen as WASPs. Mm-hmm. Like, fetishize. They, like, fetishize New England WASPy culture the way, like, some
dudes. Your aunt
works
for Ethan Allen.
Like, the way some dudes fetishize, like, Japanese culture, you know, like, mm-hmm. that, like, obsessed with Asian culture guy.
Right.
They're, like, obsessed with WASPy, like, New England. It's just, like, I don't know why that bothers me so much. It's just, like, be who you are.
You're,
like,
taking it personally.
Or
it's reminding you of something that bothers you in your own family?
No, I'm not taking it personally. I am annoyed by people who aren't authentic.
Mm.
And it's just like, just love who you are. Like, love your culture. It doesn't
mean... See, my dad would say, back the fuck off, leave me the fuck alone, let me define myself, stop trying to put
I know,
me in
this
a box.
I think this is maybe why I think about it a lot, because I also understand... I understand it from the point, your father's point of view, because, of course, it's like, it's different for Jews... And also, like, Italians in America were also treated like shit. You know, my mom married this guy, and his family basically saw Italians as like colored people.
That word is uncomfortable. I know, but that's the word they
I don't know what that's how they would put it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't use that word, but that's how like Italians were seen as like, you know, what would be the word? Like not white.
Inferior.
Not white.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're like kind of turned off by the fact that he would marry an Italian, you know, like, which is crazy, you know, and all race talk is kind of crazy at a certain level.
Wait, sorry, who married the Italian?
My stepdad married my mom.
His
family thought that about my mom.
Wait a minute. His family thought that about your mom?
Yes.
Because his family were like, and I don't, they were pretty
rednecky.
Yes, they were like hillbillies, and your mom came from a pseudo WASP family of New England.
Right, but she's Italian.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's how ludicrous this shit gets. And it's like not ludicrous on the when people are actually affected by this stuff. But I'm just saying, like,
maybe that shouldn't surprise me in the same way that, like, if it turned out that Kid Rock was racist, we'd be like, yeah.
If it turned out?
I mean,
if we discovered that Kid Rock is racist.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like that, they may as well have Confederate flags, so it's not that surprising.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were full on with that shit.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but anyway, the was the point of it? Oh, yeah.
This Vanderpump guy bothers you.
No. I mean, I understand why people would be like, no, I'm not that. I'm this. You know, I understand why Jews who come to Hollywood and change their name. Like, I get it.
Right.
But I don't like it. I want to be able to see your dirty race so that I can know what I'm dealing
who to
with.
Spawn with.
Yeah. How
right.
What am I supposed to think of you?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like people forcing people to disclose their sexuality. Like, that was the point that Carolla always made, which is like, I don't care who you fuck, but it's like your brain needs it to make sense. So if I'm getting gay vibes off you and you're claiming not to be gay, like, my brain can't put it down.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's a
I don't
you,
get Italian vibes
problem.
Off of Bo. Like, Bo.
No,
purely...
no. I'm not really saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying this thing of like, wait, why did I say that?
I guess with Bo, I do take offense at it. Because, like, what the fuck is wrong with being Italian, motherfucker? Yeah. Fuck off. Yeah.
And I think Jews didn't like that I was saying I wasn't Jewish.
Yeah, I think that no is one what liked it is. It. It's like, it does imply that being the thing, even though I don't think this is the case with him. If I did, I probably would be not have any hard feelings about it. But it's like, if, you know, look, if you're in an environment where you're being, you know,
persecuted.
Yeah, whatever. Then, yeah, I can get why you might try to blend in. But if it's not, then it's just, you're just implying that being that, there's something.
Was he trying to be an actor? Is that when he changed his name?
Okay. And it's probably, I don't know the guy. Who gives a shit? I'm just saying, like, it kicked me off on thinking about this stuff. Okay. You know what? I quit. I'm out of here.
Hey, it's Todd Perry, co-host of Allison and Todd After Hours on Patreon. And I'm biased, but the show's up there with my favorite Allison Rosen podcast. Top three, at least. Why? Because of the fun topics. We've already discussed getting caught having sex, perverted teppanyaki chefs, filming yourself, Gen Z slang, slay, why Allison needs Ben Gay, astrology, the Adam Carolla show, pit pastors, a fight we had with a prominent politician, backhanded compliments, death, and why German men sit when they pee.
Like, well, I can't stand in peace. So he thought it was like sort of showing off, as if I'd be like, oh, bite my fist. Like, man, I wish I could do that.
Start now and get two shows a month for just $2 at patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. Not sure if you're ready to subscribe? Check out hours of free previews at patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. Allison with one L, Todd with one D.
Allison, Daniel. Hey. Hi, it's Jason in Seattle. I'm fine. Whatever.
The way he said I'm fine, whatever.
It's not
like,
whatever, Jason. I'm happy you're fine.
But that's also how you seem when you're in a bad mood and you don't want to share. It's fine, whatever. It's like, Jason, I don't think you're fine. Whatever. I need more.
I'm doing a riddle. They usually
He's not doing it. This was back when I wanted riddles.
Oh.
Okay. I'm gonna stop interrupting because it's making it confusing. And also Daniel has quit.
Whatever. I'm not doing a riddle. They usually kind of make me feel dumb, so I steer clear of those. But I mainly just wanted to call and make a pitch for the return of Daniel's Cool Beans, yes. Bean Reviews.
Oh, how dare you.
I love beans. Made some flageolette beans just last night. Delicious.
And then
with Daniel's discerning bean palate, I might even be able to appreciate them a little bit more. Anyway, this is Jason.
Did he still call them flat?
Bring back the beans.
Tony, will you make a drop of bring back the beans and leave me saying it in the episode for accountability?
Will you call them flatulencia?
Flagellate beans.
Oh, flagellate.
Like, sounds like flat.
Flatulent.
Yeah, let's look up flagellate beans. Daniel, see, I'm telling you, you think the world wasn't listening to your bean reviews.
No. I just have nothing left to say about beans.
Well, you got to find.
You got to dig deep.
Yeah, let's see. Flagellate beans. Oh, it's spelled totally different than I expected. It's F-L-A-G-E-O-L-E-T. Oh my God. Flagellate are the creamy French beans you should know. Do, 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 do. Some beans that you used to know.
Is that
do
this?
It. Sing it.
No, I'm not going to sing that.
Sing it with beans.
No.
Please.
Stop it. Go
I'll
ahead.
I'll be your best friend.
No.
Please.
Come on. Let's move
please.
On.
Please.
No.
I'm like Owen.
No.
Please.
I don't need another
but
person
really
doing this to me.
Do
no, I don't
beans.
Need you being this person right now.
God.
I'm not singing that.
I'm so hungry and I'm tired. Beans. All right, fine.
Tell the frog story.
I mean, it makes me sound Jewish is the thing. It's about money.
Well, then don't tell it.
No, I'm going to tell it. Okay. There's a store in our neighborhood that sells goth delights. And I didn't realize that they sold candy, but Elliot went there with Daniel's mother-in-law and Owen and took a picture of this frog that apparently is made out of chocolate. It doesn't look like it is. And he really wanted this frog and he told me it was $14, which is pretty expensive for a chocolate frog, but I said he could get it for Easter. And he was really excited about it. And then we dropped the ball. We forgot to get it for Easter. He was disappointed. So I said, at some point, I promise you, we will get you this $14 chocolate frog.
Which is expensive.
It's expensive.
For a chocolate frog.
It's really expensive. But I was like, you know what? I gave my word. It's expensive, but we can do it. It's not going to put us in the poorhouse. Excuse me. So anyway, this week our regular babysitter is out. We have someone here, like, who was here yesterday for a few hours. She's here for a few hours today. She's great. And I thought, I know an activity. And Daniel and I had a Zoom that we had to be on. I know an activity they could do. They could walk to the store. They could get the frog. Now, if Elliot gets frog, Owen has to get a frog. So that's two $14 frogs. So I gave her $40. They came back with one frog. And I was like, what happened? But I didn't say it. I was just wondering. And I'm still unclear exactly. It sounded like the person who worked there was like, I think that's enough chocolate for the two of you. And I was like, I'm surprised that they dissuaded a sale. But anyway, she told me the frog was actually $40. A chocolate frog for $40.
And it was like not even that big.
It was gross, actually, because Elliot said it tasted funny. And then I took a bite and it was like, I was like, is this the kind of chocolate that you're never supposed to eat?
I mean, for $40, no. No, you're not supposed to eat that. That is like a, you're supposed to like.
Put it in a chilled museum.
Put it in your chilled, yeah, you're like, your chilled display case. The fuck are they getting? How do they get off charging that? I'm still so.
And it was.
Pissed about that.
How? It tasted so gross. It tasted like. It was on this like mound of cut up paper, like clay, not clay. Hey. It was on a mound
it's like
of fake
paper.
Hay. Yeah. It tasted like the inside of the box. I don't know. It was so gross.
Probably because it's been sitting there. Nobody is stupid enough to buy that thing.
And she said to me, she's like, after we got all the way there, I couldn't say. I don't know. But even if she had texted me and said, hey, this is $40, what should I do? I don't know what I would have done, because obviously we're not buying two of them. I probably would have, you know what? I probably would have said, let's not get it. Put Elliot on the phone.
Yeah. We'll make our fucking own. I could make a mold and for less. Like I could create a mold to create
and
chocolate
you could
frogs.
Make it taste good.
And then, and yeah. Like
and it wasn't even solid. But I looked at the ingredients and it has shellac on it. And also it was like cochineal, and which is crushed up bugs is how they made one of the colors. Which I know is like that's used in food dye, but gross. But anyway, I just am wondering what kind of shellac this was, because I think maybe that was the flavor. The whole thing was disgusting. But mostly I just cannot get over the fact that we spent $40 on a chocolate frog because I thought it was $14.
Which was already too much.
This is... Take a page from Pirates of Penzance. Do you know the plot of this?
No.
His father wanted him to be a pilot, but the nanny was hard of hearing, and she heard pirate.
Is that really what it is?
That's what Pirates of Penzance is about, yes. So, yeah. Elliot told me 14, but it was 40. And I had to stop myself, though, from carrying on at all about it, because I don't want to make him feel bad. I don't want to rob him of joy. I'm just going to rob the listeners of joy. Can you fucking believe that?
You know, it was 30 years ago. I think it was 30 years ago today. Mm-hmm. What happened 30 years ago today?
I don't know. Oh, Kurt Cobain died.
He was murdered.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. He was murdered?
Mm-hmm.
By himself? Or do you think he was murdered?
Kurt Cobain was clearly murdered, honey.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, for real.
Are you this guy?
I am this guy.
I know. I remember where I was when I found out, unless I'm confusing it with Jerry Garcia dying, which I might be. Yes, I am. Sorry.
You remember where you were when you found out that Jerry Garcia died?
I was in London.
I feel like that's grounds for a no-fault divorce. Like, I can just get out without any... And just call... I think I can say whatever I want in the divorce... And no court would side with you.
Because I remember where I was when Jerry Garcia died.
Like, oh, fucking Jerry Garcia?
No, now I remember. Now I remember where I was when I found out Kurt Cobain died. I was at my parents' house and I remember seeing it on the TV.
Oh, great story.
Where were you?
I was shooting a student film. We were out getting ready to shoot.
Well, how wonderful for you. What was it about? Was it yours?
It was not. No, I was the cinematographer / producer on my partner's film, and it was his, and it was very, it was insane. it's a whole long story. I don't want to get into it.
I got to play this one.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Maureen Fossman from, Chicago area. I was just calling to, wait, is everything okay?
Okay, and then she didn't call back. And this is from February 16th. Maureen?
Hope you're all right, Maureen.
What happened?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Maureen.
So, I got to hear how she says her name.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Maureen Bodesman from...
Bodesman. Because I think I've said Maureen Bodesman. Because she's a patron.
Okay.
Okay.
Well. All right, so hoping that everything's good in her household, let's move on.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Missy from Fort Collins, Colorado. I am once again calling you from inside a snow globe. Everything is great here. I don't have a favorite riddle or brain teaser. I do have a question. What is the difference between a riddle and a dad joke?
I don't think there is one.
For example... What's black and white and red all over? It's a newspaper. Is that a riddle?
No,
or is it a dad joke, right? I feel like there's a lot of overlap there. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing great. This is Missy from Fort Collins. Take care.
Yeah, bye. I guess the difference is a riddle. It's the format. Because a dad joke can be a pun.
Dad jokes are just like bad, corny jokes. A riddle's a riddle.
All right, Maureen called back. 10 days later.
Oh, thank God.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Maureen Bosdaman. I was calling about my favorite drop. And I think I was so excited the other day when Tony played Touch the Tushy. That is just such a classic, and I love it so much. And I've been listening to it over and over since then. So that's my vote. I'm interested to see what everyone else says. This is Maureen again. Thank you. Bye.
It's a slap that bops.
Fucking thank you, because we played it in front of Joe and Rory. And they were not delighted.
You know, Joe's
he's
got
cool.
his high standards.
Right,
he's all about
rock
the
and roll,
rock and roll Hall of fame. You know, he's all about the, you know, he only listens to you if you've got a platinum record.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know Rory well enough, but I'm sure there's something wrong with her too.
Hey, Allison and Daniel. This is Lena from Long Beach. Longtime listener here. And I'm calling because I have a bone to pick with you two.
Uh-oh.
So in a previous episode, you guys all raved about whisks. So I very trustingly went out and I bought the Parmesan flavored ones. And I was so disappointed.
This is like the second person.
I truly don't understand how you guys find these.
Is it, or did we already play this?
Well, you're managing
enjoyable.
This stuff, so I don't know.
You call this managing?
And my husband, who doesn't like to waste food, couldn't finish the bag. So I just got to know, is it just us or are these truly terrible? Anyway.
I like them.
Love your show, but let's just leave the wisps out of the snack chat next time.
Lena.
Again, this is Lena from Long Beach. Take care.
You know, maybe down in Long Beach, they have a different formulation.
Right.
A wisp.
I think it was Ray Morgan. Ray? Yeah. This is on Ray.
Listen, I like the wisps. I stand by it. But maybe what we need to say is not for everyone. I don't know.
Maybe they were stale and old. Today, can I tell you?
Hmm.
I ate a very stale donut hole this morning.
Hmm.
It was better. It really like put up a fight when I bit into it. It was like...
Not a fan of donut
chewy
holes.
And substantial. What?
Not a fan.
The needle drop?
Nope. Don't like them.
Why?
Well, because they're all... I mean, the kinds of donut holes we get are the store-bought kind. And honestly, they have no business calling themselves donuts. Like, the kind of donuts you get at the store, except for, like, the chocolate Entenmann's, which are good, they're just, like... They're cake in the shape of donut. It's just a for something to be a donut, it has to be deep fried. It has to be.
Aren't these deep fried? They've got to be.
But they don't taste like it. It just tastes like a fucking chunk of sweet cake. And I'm not.
And you want a you want to taste oil in your chunk of sweet cake?
I want to taste a donut. I want my donuts to taste like donuts.
But what flavor is missing?
Donut. Donut flavor.
Is it a fried flavor?
Fried dough. Nut.
It's interesting. I think that the Entenmann's donuts,
well, the chocolate
the glazed ones, I think are good.
But they're just their own thing, the chocolate Entenmann's.
Can I tell you that our son wanted to take a donut and then also wanted to take a donut hole to see if the hole fits in the donut? Mm. It didn't.
Mm-mm.
You know why? Because the Entenmann's ones, it's not even a hole in the center. It's more
but also
like
they're
a
cut before they,
vagina.
Before they're cooked.
Yeah, I know. So I know they're not really donut holes. Wait a minute. Cut before they're cooked. What do you think they actually punch out the hole of a donut and then fry it?
That's where the donut holes originate. When they would make the donuts, they would have the cutter for the donuts, and then the little pieces left over, they'd fry those, and those become the donut holes.
I didn't know that they really did that. I just assumed it was just sort of apocryphal.
What's the next call?
Do you have somewhere you have to be?
Well, yeah, because we're creeping up on when we have to relieve the babysitter.
Right. Just trying to find a good one here. Okay.
Allison and Daniel, I have a JMO. This is Vibov from Chicago. Is it just me, or when there is a switch and another switch that connects to the same light in the house, when somebody turns off the switch with a very seldom used switch, it really bothers me that the mainly used switch is the opposite direction of what the light actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, this is Ziva from Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
that's an excellent JMO.
That is really good.
It's an everyone.
True.
Yeah, and if it's not you, it's because you're not paying attention.
I always feel like, honestly, I feel like on some level, I've always judged people that have that switch for one room situation.
What, like in like a how lazy are you kind of thing?
No, there's something like when you come across a room where down is on because of the switch situation.
Uh-huh.
I always feel like, get your fucking shit together.
It bothers me.
Is like,
it,
this house is just like, fucking just get it together, people. You're half a step from a mobile home here. This is just like, everything's off.
Try this one on for size. How do you feel about a switch that goes side to side? Have you seen those?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
Yeah, it's just a regular old switch, but it's like on this on its side instead.
Well, like our kitchen lights are like that on the side. It took me...
They are?
Imagine our kitchen lights. They're like sideways. It took me like these right here. They're like these.
Oh, yes.
I know what those you're talking
are,
about.
But
you're...
those are... These are like... It's not just the traditional light switch, though. This is like a little, like, kind of a square. You push
a side-to-side light switch, though, and this is similar in that you end up having to memorize which side is which.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I just know that...
It's the opposite of whatever.
Yes.
No, I think... Oh, yeah, I guess what I had to memorize was which light controlled which switch controlled which light.
I still don't know. There's still, like, a flapping... Of switch, like a when I try to turn stuff on.
What's
and off
the best
the
kind of light switch?
I like a dimmer.
You're a real dimmer girl, but like the traditional, like dial, the dial dimmer.
No, I don't even like those. You know why? Because I see that and I think I.
Well, then what kind of dimmer? The hell are you talking about? The knob, the up and down,
the up
knob?
And down slider. Yeah,
the slider.
Yeah.
That feels flimsy to me.
What is your favorite kind of light switch? I thought of something I like, though, when it comes as pertains to light switches.
You know, I think I like the traditional fucking light switch.
So imagine it on side to side.
No, I have. Haven't rewound the podcast, people. We've already kind of. Are there any more?
There's 1,000 more, but I have something to say. Mm-hmm. I just announced that I have something to say, and you just blew right past me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Imagine a lamp.
Okay.
A table lamp.
Is this like imagine an elephant? Think of an elephant.
Don't think of a table lamp.
Don't think of an elephant.
So you think I want to turn it off. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I got to like reach my hand up into the shade.
Oh, well, lamp
seeing.
Switches is a whole other ballgame.
So hang on. So you think you got to I hope I don't knock the shade off or burn my hand on the bulb. Oh, but then you find out, lo and behold, it's got one of those like wheel things, slidey things attached to the cord. I prefer that vastly when you got to get up in the, you got to get up in the business. But if it has one of those dials on the actual fixture itself, I don't like that. But if it has a push, you push it in either direction, that's preferable.
Lamp,
I've done it all wrong.
Lamp engineering is one of those things in our world that does not get enough hate.
It doesn't really get any, I don't think.
No, nobody talks
like
about it.
You're an electrician's podcast.
You're putting... So there's this thing that can burn your fucking fingers that is completely covered by a shade.
Mm-hmm.
And the switch to it, let's imagine it's been on for a while, it's super hot. The switch to it either is like on the cord.
That's what I'm
saying. Could be at the base. I know. I'm just elaborating. I'm making this entertaining for people.
Are you punching it up?
Or, but there's no way to know until you reach your hand and risk burning your fucking fingers to find out. Now, there should be like a fucking indicator, like a universal indicator of some kind. Like you could look at the lamp and go, oh, that little notch means it's on the cord.
Right.
Or like that little notch means
like
it's a chain. Or it's
oh,
whatever.
I love a chain.
Because even if it's one of those little black turny things, it could be on the other side.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You reach up and you don't feel it. And so you got to
surprised people even stay in hotels, given that this is constantly happening in hotels are the main area where I got to reach up a shade.
Oh, well, the hotels, there's another level of frustration because you don't know how it's all wired. You can sit there and then finally find it and switch. There's nothing's happening because the fucking switch isn't even in that room. It's over by the front door around the corner.
Do you remember the last time we went to Hawaii?
Yes.
You brought a power strip with you and that was smart.
Yeah, this is a power move. This is like a pro travel hack.
We might have brought two.
I hate the use of the word hack now. It's become so hacky.
It has.
People say hack for things that aren't hacks. It drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah. This is a hack. Don't say hack.
This is just a tip. It's not a hack. It's a fucking tip.
I know. It's a hack. We're hacking your hack.
Oh.
Say tip.
Yeah, it's a hack. Bring a power strip. Bring a fucking power strip.
Yeah,
if there's two of you, bring two power strips.
Yeah, because you're both going to want to charge your phone. You're both going to want to charge your computer.
No hotel on earth has figured out that people want to plug things in next to their bedside. They all, for some reason, think that it's
cool.
You're
going to plug it on the desk.
That everyone's going to be cool with the fact that every single outlet near the bed is utilized by one of their useless devices, whether it's their shitty alarm and the fucking three lamps and the fucking thing that's supposed to be used to plug in your laptop, whatever it fucking happens to be.
Yeah, because sometimes they'll have USBs on something on the thing, but it's like not the kind of USB we use anymore.
Right, it's like two technologies ago. It's like for floppy drives. Like, just bring that power strip. Mm-hmm. Take one of the fucking things out of there. You can plug a couple things if you're going to use them into the power strip.
Right.
But now you can plug in your phone and your watch and your laptop and all the things. Thank you. It's my TED Talk. I should, I have lots of good things. People should listen to me more.
Don't we have a drop about how that's a good tip or something? Tony, don't we have Daniel singing something about a tip?
Life tips?
Yeah. If we do, take out me asking for it and insert it, please.
Yeah, bring the power strip. That's a really good one.
It's a good tip. Should we go out on your hack, or should we play one more thing?
Let's play one more.
All right.
Hey, girl, hey. This is Jess Flowers calling from...
Former carb czar Jess Flowers. She retired from carbistry, but we love you, Jess.
Philadelphia. We had a... I almost said a hurricane. Good Lord. We had an earthquake today.
I know.
And everybody's losing their minds. It was so exciting. And I was just wondering if you folks in California find that adorable for us. I guess that's it. I don't think this is really interesting.
Something being not interesting has never stopped me before, Jess. Don't let it stop you. I know they had a big earthquake, and all I kept thinking is everything okay? Because they're not really built for earthquakes like we are out here.
That's the thing.
But
it
seems like everything's fine.
Like on its surface, no, 4.8 wouldn't worry us here. But yes, I do. I am concerned for you because your cities are not, and your homes are not built to withstand earthquakes. Like lots of brick. Lots of nothing's worse than brick except maybe adobe in an earthquake.
Right.
But very unsafe.
There wasn't much damage though, was there?
No, it doesn't seem like it, although I saw in New York City like water was pouring out the 16th floor of some high rise. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like structural damage, but no one...
You know how our shit's built on rollers here? I mean, not houses and stuff, but like big buildings are on rollers.
Yes.
I actually don't have any idea what that looks like. I got to look that up. But I just remember being in
a mall. San Francisco. San Francisco is not built to withstand. It's like San Francisco is right on the San Andreas Fault. And a lot of those buildings are not earthquake proof. Go ahead, though.
I remember being in South Coast Plaza with my mom like in, I believe it was Brass Plum was the department that was a Nordstrom's Junior's department. And if I have that right, anyway, just worrying that like, what if the building just rolls down the street?
Like it's on wheels.
Truly. I was like, hilarious. What is securing this building?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like on rollerblades.
Yeah. Listen, this has been delightful. I would like to thank everyone for their wonderful calls. Don't be a stranger. 323-553-2331. Subscribe to my Patreon. A lot of important, interesting stuff is happening over there. And as you might have noticed, not a lot of ads in this episode. In fact, I would go so far as to say zero ads in this episode, which is like a gift from me to you, but it's not a gift from the ad gods to me. That was complicated. What I'm trying to say is, guys, my ads are very thin lately. I haven't subwayed.
Subwayed? What if
segwayed?
Subway should advertise you.
I'm so bad at segways, I can't even get the word out. I haven't subwayed. I'm relying on your direct support for this show. Please support the show if you're in a position to do so. If you've enjoyed it for a while, if you've enjoyed it for a little bit of time, if you've hated it for a while, what?
You need to get your pitch skills up.
Could you do it for me?
This show is supported by its listeners. We love our listeners. We are eternally grateful to you for supporting this show. And if you can't afford it, it really helps. It makes it worth, you know, continuing. It helps us feel like there are people listening and care and value the content and the effort that you put in.
You're so much better at this than I am.
And, you know, look, if you can't afford it, you can still listen. We're not going to make you feel guilty. Yeah. But
you can review it, too.
But it's like enormously helpful because, you know, this is Allison's job until it ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Patreon.com.
Until I start to have that conversation.
Patreon.com. Yeah. You know how for everyone always was like, the haters are like, oh, it's just her little vanity podcast because her husband's probably supporting the family.
Well, now it's true.
How the mighty
don't
have fallen.
Don't let the haters be right.
Oh, my God. Don't let the haters. You guys, if you don't sign up for my Patreon, you're letting the haters. Now you wear the pants in the family.
A lot of pressure on old DQ these days.
God, I miss the old days. We all do. Anyway, patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon.
Smash the patriarchy. Don't let me be the...
Don't let Daniel...
The bacon earner.
Make more money than I do, please.
Do I earn bacon?
I guess.
I bring home the beans.
And then you review them.
Well, I don't actually leave the house because I work from home, so I have the beans brought.
Yeah,
Let us
keep us in beans.
Keep us swimming in bacon and beans, but not bacon because I love pigs.
Yeah, we want to swim in beans. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Do an annual subscription and get 2 months free. All right, Daniel, where might we find you?
Well, I wish I had something really interesting that I could point people towards and that would bring them joy and happiness. But instead, I just have Instagram and Threads right now, which is just at Daniel Quants. So knock yourself out. Go follow me and then be reminded once a year that you're following me when I post.
And all of my stuff, including merch.
Yeah, the best thing to do is follow Allison. Yeah. Don't worry about my ass.
Follow me everywhere. You can get to all my links at allisonslinks.com. Allisonslinks.com. All right. Thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? We had a good time, but now we gotta go. Yeah, Allison Rosen is your new best friend.